In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The Pharisee is offered to us as someone who has the full catastrophe of spiritual illness. He lives by pride. He lives by vanity. He lives by what is called kenodoxia. Kenodoxia is the original word behind vainglory. Vainglory. Glory that is a self-glorification, a glorification where there is nothing. Empty glory. Glorification where there is no cause for glorification. That is the original meaning of the word that we translate as vainglory, kenodoxia. Self-glorification without any reason whatsoever. That's what this man has instead of humility before God, instead of emptiness, instead of self-knowledge. Instead, he has all of this vanity, all of this pride. He comes into the temple, and Saint Nikolai says of him that he acknowledges God by flattery. Someone who is sufficiently secure in his own pride and vanity that he flatters God almost like an equal. God, I thank you that you have given me all that I am. We're reminded of someone who comes into a court before the king and has no respect for the king. But for formality's sake, he gives thanks to the king for what the king has given that makes him able to stand on his own feet and be really the power in his own life. Lord, I thank thee. But his pride, his confidence, is in himself. Saint Nikolai says that the proud man comes into the temple and he raises his eyes up to heaven in self-glorification. The humble man, the publican, comes into the temple and he knows himself. He knows his emptiness before God. Both men are sinners. Both men have missed the mark. The publican, by way of his life, the way he lives his life, he is a tax collector. And the way he lives in the world is despicable. But he sees the emptiness in his own heart. He knows himself for what he is. And when he comes into the presence of God, he is devastated that his soul is in the condition that it is. He sees how he has missed the mark. But the Pharisee sees nothing. He sees only this illusion of himself, so strong, so powerful in his own delusion and imagination, that even before God, he feels adequate to flatter someone in power like himself in his own life. The humble man does not raise his eyes in the temple to God. The prideful man raises his eyes to God, but his heart is captured by the earth. His heart has nothing to do with heaven. The humble man, the publican, his eyes are cast down earthward, but within, because of his humility before God, there is the presence of heaven, of paradise. For wherever there is the emptiness of our true humility before God, God fills it with his presence. And this is the nature of our relationship to God. Before God, humility is the only possible stance. A human being is an empty vessel that it is possible for God to fill with his presence. But if we fill that empty space where God belongs with our own self-love, our own self-orientation, our love of the earth, our vanity, our self-glorification, then there is no room for God. We are rejecting God. And so this is the difference between the publican and the Pharisee. And in our lives, in general, we are more the Pharisee than the publican. St. Nikolai says that the Pharisee is always concerned to push himself into first place, to resent anyone that gets in ahead of him in the estimation of anyone around, always concerned to make a great show of himself, first of all, for himself, but also for others. And he even dares to do this in the presence of God, in the temple. St. Nikolai gives the example of a hospital. In the hospital, he says there are those who are sick with fever, those who are lying in bed, but there are also those who are walking around and don't realize their own illness. All of them are sick. All of them need healing. And a friend of the doctor asks the doctor, can they be healed? And the doctor says, the ones who have fever, they can be healed. The ones in bed, they can be healed. But the ones who are walking around and don't realize their illness, they cannot be healed because they have terminal diseases that are rotting them out from inside, and they have no awareness. They cannot be healed. The Pharisee cannot be healed. He believes he is fine just the way he is. St. Nikolai reminds us of what it's like to be ill ourselves. And I know this from my own experience, probably you do too. I've always felt that I never knew how sick I was until after I started to get better. Because when we're sick, when we first have something come on, maybe a cold, maybe something worse, we're not sure what it is. Maybe it's something less, maybe it's something else, and we have to get on about the business of life and do what needs to be done. And so if someone asks a person in the early stages of an illness, St. Nikolai says, how are you? They'll say, fine, fine. I'm able to carry on. And he says that at the peak of our illness, when we are barely able to do what needs to be done, because illness has overtaken us, and everything is a struggle, and we are relying on ourselves, on our bodies that are failing us with this illness, when someone asks, are you ill? The response of such a person will be anger. No, I'm not sick, I'm fine. I'm doing okay, I'm doing what needs to be done. And so there is anger and rejection of the possibility that we can no longer count on ourselves. It's the body's anger. There is that fever and a rejection of the illness that comes out in these words, in this anger. It's only after the crisis has passed and we are beginning to get better that we realize how ill we have been. And finally, we are able to clearly ask for help, realizing our illness. We know then we need help. We have more self-awareness than the Pharisee who has no self-awareness, who believes in himself, who believes in his pride, believes in his vanity. There is no illness in him, or maybe a little, but I will push through. I will depend. I will try to do better. After I confess my sins and they are forgiven, I will go out and I will try to do better. It's only a little I can push through. But once we realize that we have been through a terrible illness that could have taken us down for the last time, then our awareness begins to return to us. Then we have humility. We have been humbled by this spiritual disease that we finally have become aware of. As the publican is aware, of the spiritual disease in his heart, in his soul, and repents before God, knows his emptiness before God, knows that there is no one who can help him, no one who can fill the emptiness inside of him but God himself, and he cries out to the Lord with his eyes cast down, Lord, have mercy on me. Both men are sinners. Both men have missed the mark. But one can be helped and is being helped by his repentance, and the other cannot be helped. That's how it is in spiritual life. St. Nikolai has used the example of a hospital, and that's what we say the church is. The Orthodox Church is a hospital. It's not a place where we come to be judged. It's a place where we come to be healed. Judgment comes as the consequence of what we choose in our spiritual lives. That pride, that vanity, that self-dependence, that self-reliance, that kenodoxia, that vain glory, it has spiritual consequences. And the spiritual consequences are deadly. They cut us off from God. Even in the presence of God, we maintain our pride, look up to heaven, give him vanity, and retain our faith in ourselves. In that condition of self-glorification, we cannot be healed. We are at the hospital, the place of healing, and we can look and we can see that others need to be healed. Others need to come more often. Others need to change their ways. Maybe we'll even remind them, don't you think you should do this? Don't you think you should do that? Because after all, we're fine. We're okay. The consequences of that condition are this rot inside, so that we are emptied out from inside. No possibility of God's filling us with his healing presence. St. Nikolai talks about a man who went into the forest to find a tree to use for a beam in his home, solid wood. And he finds two trees. One is standing straight and tall. It looks like it would be just the thing. You'd have to do very little to it, but cut it down and use it for that beam. But he is a woodman. And he knows, he can see the signs that inside this tree is hollow, rotted out, straight as an arrow, wonderful and strong to all appearances. And appearances are mainly what we are concerned about. How do we appear to others? How do we appear to ourselves? We feel better when we are given a good report by others as far as our appearance, what kind of figure we cut in the world. The degree to which we impress others, the degree to which we impress ourselves, like this straight tree. And there is a second tree of terrible appearance, ugly, gnarled, but inside solid, hard, and strong, gone through many challenges of the weather, the environment, storms, that has hardened the wood. And that is the tree that will be chosen. It will take a lot of work and a lot of effort to give it the shape that it needs to have in order to be of use in building. But it is good building timber. And the other, despite its appearance, is spiritually worthless. When God comes and sees, as he sees into all of us, it's not our outward appearances that he's interested in. It's the reality of our inward souls, how we actually are. How do we deal with others and with him? How do we weather the storms that challenge us? Do we respond with anger, saying, no, I'm fine, you're the one with the problem? Or do we respond by seeing more clearly into ourselves and dealing with what must be dealt with internally, Because none of us can do anything but deal with ourselves internally. That's our task in life. And all of the challenges that we go through, all of the choices that we make, they come down to consequences that show themselves inside of us. Whether we are hollowed out by some cancerous vanity, or whether we are strengthened by our humility and rational, reasonable response to our relationship between ourselves and others, and ourselves and God. The consequences are inescapable. We make of ourselves what we become by our spiritual choices. God sees into our souls and sees whether there is the presence of a repentance and humility such that he can fill us with his strength. The Pharisee is offering up a prayer to God. He stands in the presence of God and he asks of God exactly what he needs of God. God's own presence in himself. Not the ability for him to go and do something in the world by way of a strength that he knows very well he does not have. But he asks of God forgiveness and his presence to fill the emptiness that he has made by the bad choices in his life. That is why we go before God in prayer. We go before God in prayer to ask what only God can give. Not to evaluate others or ourselves on the basis of a self-reliant love of the world, even when we stand before God and offer up prayer. St. Nikolai calls these passages about the publican and the Pharisee an example of true prayer and false prayer. The prayer of the Pharisee is false prayer. There is no humility. There is no fear of God. There is no righteousness. St. Nikolai says that the disease that the Pharisee has is a disease of complete unrighteousness. He stands in the presence of God and he sees nothing and knows nothing about himself, knows nothing about God. Even uses his delusion about God to build himself up in the very presence of God. Whereas the publican, in his prayer, makes good spiritual use of all of the bad choices that he has made in the world. That's the nature of repentance. We come to confession and we confess our sins that they might be the occasion of our transformation. That by accusing ourselves and seeing how we act in the world that is so different from Christ, we might be transformed. That we might repent of what is going on in our heart that causes us to act with such lack of awareness in the world, of others and God. We have shame for our action before God. We are brokenhearted before God. And we confess what we have done, and we see what it has made of us, and God is able to fill us with his presence. We have come to a condition where we are able to love God because we need him for himself. Only repentance, only seeing ourselves as we actually are, makes that possible. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.